While you're standing, let's lift up the Lord. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. And certainly thank you for this awesome conference. Thank you for every speaker that we've had. And Lord, how you have opened up new doors for your people from this conference. We pray now for the anointing to be upon this message, this time, and upon me in these lips of clay, that I speak this word with excellence, accuracy, and boldness, asking you to think through my mind, speak to my lips, and this word will come forth unhindered, unchecked by any outside force. And Father, we fully expect signs, wonders, and miracles to confirm the word preached. Now we give you the praise in advance in Jesus' name. Can somebody shout amen? Take a seat, please. Well, thank God for this conference. Woo-wee. This has been powerful. I just want to thank again all those who helped make this successful. I'm getting a little ring up here, maybe these foldbacks, I'm not sure what it is, but sounds like a little bit in the well. I want to especially thank people who worked in places that make sure that you're comfortable when you come. And that is in housekeeping and security and in come on, give them a hand clap, because they're the janitors and all the people that make sure. Amen. Sometimes we just take it for granted, and we don't realize that, you know, they're working hard to make sure that you can have a good time in the Lord. So we thank God for them. Thank God for you coming. And have you been blessed at this conference? And this has been phenomenal, really. I mean, this has been a work of God. Well, I want to get right into it because I'm not going to hold people long. This night wraps it up. And, you know, I was kind of listening to some of the things that were being said, the messages that were being given, and so forth. And I remember Apostle Maldonado talked about the need for the supernatural in the world. And I want to go a step further, the need for the supernatural in the church. You know, somehow I think sometimes we think we can get around that, but you can't get around the supernatural. That is the kingdom of God. It's all supernatural. And then this that some of the people preached is one person mentioned that the church needs to go beyond the jurisdiction of reason and not reason everything out and understand we're going beyond the range of the intellect. We're going into the spirit. And that's where we need to go, because to start JBS, that's what I did. And that's what Dolores was sharing with you, that I asked him to come back and give me, I gave him the idea and told him to come back and give me how, in fact, we can start a business school. And he came back and I said, tell me how long it'll take. And they said, I don't know, 1 or 2 years. And I went and prayed about it. I said, well, it's going to take 2 months, so make it happen. Now, they didn't know how that was going to happen, but they did know that the man of God speaks words that God gives him, and that they're just going to follow what he says. And as they just believed what I spoke, they made it happen. And now we're in 5 continents of the world in spreading this this new teaching, the new economy, all over. That's the same way I started Living Word Christian Center. It was used to be called Living Word Church. And that was down to Lake Pulaski. I just happened to go down there to a little storefront meeting because they invited me down there to speak. And, you know, nobody knew me and nobody really, really cared. But they had seen me on a program, and so they asked me to come down to speak, and I spoke. And after I spoke, miracles began to break out. And the person who had that little group down there said, God is telling me to turn this whole thing over to you. I said, whoa, hold on. But I had to take it by faith. And that's everything that you receive from God. You're going to have to receive it by faith. That means you can't figure everything out on the front end of this thing. You're just going to have to walk it out, and God's going to help you. Prophet Cindy Jacobs really came in and kind of leveled some things today. You talked about going to a new level. And she is saying there's a war on between your purpose and fulfillment. And when you first hear from God and you fulfilling the things that He told you to do, that enemy is going to try to stop you. And I'm not saying believe for the devil, but just understand that he's out there and he tries to stand against what God is doing, because he knows when you fulfill what God has called you to do, a whole lot of people's lives are going to be affected. And that God is giving us also the influence that we need to heal our cities. So whatever city you came from, God is giving you the influence to heal that city. Say amen to that. So you got to take this now. This is not something that Jesus was speaking. This was spoken by the word of God. I mean, by the vocals of God. God was speaking through her. And this thing was bearing witness in my spirit. And then Joseph, she said that Joseph's father didn't understand the revelation that God gave his son. And as a result of that, that implication of him not understanding that went through many generations. So it's amazing sometimes how God can give you a revelation that some people can't quite understand. But that's because he didn't give it to them, but he gave it to you. And we're going to have to trust God. She said the warfare has intensified, and I certainly believe that. I can see just putting meetings on, it takes more prayer, sometimes some fasting and so forth to get there. Also, I just want to say that my good friend Derek Luke just brought it on home tonight and knocked this thing out. And you know how you want to just throw something at somebody? You know, down in them churches where we came from, they try to pick up something and throw it at you. But he, as they say in other sections, he knocked it out of the park. He brought this thing home. All of our speakers were absolutely phenomenal. They all had different anointings, all of them. So we are created for influence. We are created for influence. So I want to go over there. I want to start right there. And I just want to read this. This is found in Genesis chapter 12. And God is speaking to Abram, named not Abraham yet. But he said, now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, into a land that I'm going to show you. And I'll make of you a great nation, and I'll bless you. And I'll make your name great, and you'll be a blessing. And I'll bless those that bless you, and I'll curse those that curse you. And in thee shall all nations of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed. Now, take that same scripture, chapter, verse 2, and put it up there in the Amplified translation. Once you see this here. In the Amplified, he says, and I'll make of you a great nation, and I'll bless you with abundant increase of favors, and make your name famous and distinguished, and you will be a blessing, dispensing goods to others. And that's what I said. We are created for influence. We are created for influence. You know, I don't have any doubt about that. And so we're going to get into this in just a moment. We're going to dive into this, starting at this place right here. But before that, I'd like to kind of go back a little bit, because it's all about possessing your mountain. It's all about possessing your mountain. Now, you know there's seven mountains, in the mountain of arts and entertainment, the mountain of business, the mountain of education, the mountain of government, etc. But we featured today, or this meeting, the Arts and Entertainment Mountain, and also we featured business. Now, as you look at Joshua, and look at Joshua chapter 1, I look at Joshua because Joshua is a warfare book. It's kind of like the book of Ephesians in the New Testament. And he said in verse 3, every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given you. As I said unto Moses, from the wilderness of this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. And there shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. And there shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. And there shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I'll be with thee. I'll not fail you or forsake you. So be strong and what? Of good courage. All right? So this is a scripture that has really been a rock for me since I have come to Chicago. I had to learn what this meant. Matter of fact, he gave me Joshua chapter 1, verse 3, as a seed to take this shopping mall. And that's what he gave me. Now let's go over to another one. Let's go all the way over to Joshua 14. Now this is when Joshua and them have been very successful in battles. The first battle, as you know, was the battle of Jericho. But in Joshua chapter 14 now, I want you to see, I'll start reading here in verse 7. And this is Caleb now talking. As you remember, when they came back from spying out the land of Canaan, there were two people, the 12 spies went out to spy out Canaan and they came back. And two of them came back with what we call a good report. And 10 of them came back with what we call an evil report. Now watch this. 40 years old was I. Let me read it, one of the others. Hold on just a minute. He said, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me into Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord, my God. And Moses sware that day, saying, surely the land wherein your feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord, my God. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive. Well, that word is a word called kaya. It means to bring life to. You know, sometimes I put my wallet on the table and say, kaya, praise God. Kept me alive. And he said, these 40 years and five, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. I'm 85 years old, said Caleb. And yet I'm as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now. For war, both to go out and to come in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain. Now, this is interesting here, because I've got some things that I want to share with you, and I just want you to hang with me, because this is the first time I'm delivering this, but God gave it to me, so I'm going to deliver it. Amen. This, taking back this mountain. You know, I see the church, and the book of Joel talks about the church. I know we read the part that he says, you know, I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh. That's great reading. But start at the first verse. And the first verse has to do with the church and him describing the church. And as you read on down those verses, you'll see that he's talking about the church is the most powerful institution in the world ever. There's nothing more powerful than that. And I think Cindy Jacobs said something, and she said something like, we should tell the politicians what to believe. I'm trying to remember what she said about it. But she said, we kind of is struggling over which one that, she said, anybody that gets in there, we should have such jurisdiction over this earth until they gonna do what we say as the church. You know, I mean, it's, okay. But anyway, so what happens is, I'm looking at this because they had to qualify for this. In taking that mountain, there was not somebody there that was the enemy that was giving them the mountain. They had to take the mountain. Let me say that again. They weren't looking for a handout. Now you can find that over in Luke's gospel in Luke chapter 4 and verse 5. And Jesus, now just stay with me because I'm going somewhere with this. And it might be tight a little bit, but it's going to be right. He said over in verse 5, the devil taketh him up to a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this power will I give you and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. Now this is a part that you don't want to happen. You don't need anyone to have pity on you and give you an award. I want you to hear this. Because anyone that can give you everything can also take everything from you. Anyone. Doesn't make any difference. And the devil is trying to give Jesus this kingdom, this rulership, this award, this high place. See, he's trying to get Jesus to, if you will, submit to a rigged system and to try to, I'm going somewhere here, and I had to warm up a little bit, you know. And he didn't need to do that. See, somehow in the church, sometimes we leave performance out of it. Say, it's not all about performance. Well, you've got to understand that. I was looking some things up, and I was looking at Exodus chapter 7, and in Exodus chapter 7. God even spoke to Moses, and he said to Moses, verse 8, and the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, when Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, show me a miracle for you, then thou shalt say unto Aaron, take thy rod. Now notice what he's saying. He is saying that Pharaoh is going to look for some kind of performance. Now he's going to look for some kind of performance. Now I know, praise the Lord, and we want somebody to just kind of sympathize with us and so forth. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about winning an Oscar God's way. Now you stay right with me here. Because see, we get heavy into color. And Satan uses racism as a tool. He uses that. But you got to understand, if you just look at the movie, and you don't have to look at it, but I watched a movie called Jesse Owens. Jesse Owens said, my friend, you got it wrong. There's no such thing as white and black. It's fast and slow. Why? Because that's the truth. See, I don't know who qualified somebody as
I'm trying to use the right words. I don't want, you know, I want y'all to stay with me. But I am not disenfranchised. Now, wait a minute. Now stay with me. See, I can tell y'all said that real slow. All right. Now, my point to you is, once you come into the kingdom, everything changes. Everything changes. Over in the book of Romans, and Romans chapter 8, and I'll start reading here, I think it at verse 31, he said, "What shall we then say unto these things? If God be for us," Lord have mercy, I better read that again. "If God be for us, who can be against us?" See, he said, Joshua, no man, Joshua, I don't care whether it's in the White House or the outhouse. I don't care whether he's Indian, whether he's whatever. No man, Joshua, is going to be able to stand before you. Because I'm going to raise you up to be a man of influence. Now, I'm talking about us now, and I'm saying that they came back and preached something, and the 10 preached something that was reasonable, and it is very reasonable, and it caused some people to get bitter and get mad and want to go off and do this and that, but what God is doing with you and me, now just stay here now while I preach all of this, he is making us undisputed champions. See, look what he said in verse 37 in that same verse, in 8:37 of Romans. "Nay, in all these things, we are what? We are what? We are what? More than conquerors through him that loved us." See, God never intended for there to be a close race between you and second place. He never intended that. That is not a part of this Bible. You go in this Bible, look, let me just start here. Go back to Genesis and chapter 14. And here, Genesis chapter 14, this is the first real fight that I've seen in the book. And look at verse 17. In Genesis 14 and verse 17, he says this, "And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the what?" Slaughter. Come on, say it again. Slaughter. "From the slaughter of this international bully and all those nations that had confederated with him." He, Abraham, took 316 of his own hired servants, and y'all gonna be with me, and he went out and slaughtered them. In other words, God never intended for there to be neck and neck crossing the finish line with you and the world or anybody that would compete with you. Say amen to that. In glory to God. Can I keep reading here? I'm going to just go down some scripture. Look at Exodus 7 and verse 10. Over in Exodus 7 and verse 10, look what he says here. This he says, "And Moses and Aaron went into Pharaoh, and they did so according to that commandment. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent." Watch this next verse. "And Pharaoh also called his wise men and his sorcerers, now the magicians of Egypt, and they also did in like manner with their enchantments." So notice, their performance was neck and neck, but not so over in verse, come on, chapter 14 and verse 27. This is when Pharaoh, coming after Egypt, Lord Jesus, after Israel, as they were leaving this land of bondage, and Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its strength. When the morning appeared, the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea, and the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the hosts of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them." Glory to God. I won't go any further. No, I'm still talking about something. I'm still saying that you are the strongest institution that's hit the world ever. And God didn't plan on you winning by a nose. He plans on there to be an undisputed, come on, undisputed championship. He plans for you to leave no doubt in anybody's mind that you are the one that God has sent. And that God is on your side. Lord, have mercy. Look at 2 Kings chapter 19 and verse 35. Now, this is after the enemy has slaughtered certain cities, but now they're coming against Hezekiah and Judah. And now, what does Hezekiah do? He goes before the Lord, prays before the Lord, and that night Hezekiah went to sleep. The Bible says, and it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all what? Dead corpses. Now, my point to you is there's going to be a difference between you and the rest of the world. And that's not going to be some close difference that they can barely determine whether you are the world or the world is you. It's going to be such a marked difference that people are going to say something is with those people. Now, I also saw that God does not want us to compromise. See, what you compromise to get, you'll eventually you lose. And so God wants us to not compromise, but run this race, what I call lawfully. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, and I'll put it up there first in the English, and then, in the King James, and then in the Amplified. If a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive how? Lawfully. Let's put it up there in the Amplified. And if anyone enters into competitive games, he is not crowned unless he competes lawfully. Watch this. Fairly, according to the rules that have been laid down. You see, sometimes we feel that, wait a minute, the system is rigged. What I need him to do is change the rules so that I can compete, so that I can have a chance of winning too. I got some new rules for you. I'm telling you, God has got something on you that most of the church has never tapped into. I'm going to get there in just a minute. So I start looking at this thing here, and that God is on your side. You said, if God be for me, who can stand against me? In Numbers chapter 23 and verse 19, put them up there as quickly as I speak them, please. Of 23 and verse 19, you heard it the other night. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he not said it, and shall he not do it? Hath he not spoken it, and shall he not make it good? Now look what it says also in 2 Kings chapter 7. Lord have mercy. Let me just go through these. I'm going to just tell you what they are because this is drawn out. I'm saying this, that notice, the prophet stood up and announced, by this time tomorrow, it's going to be plenty and it's going to be cheap. And no, one of the people who was very intellectual, he came up to him and said, there is no way this is going to happen. And even if God opened up heaven himself, there's no way the economic condition can change in the midst of this nation that quickly. The man of God said, you're going to see it, but you're not going to partake of it, because unbelief can get you killed. So what happened was, God then took four lepers, four men that said to themselves, why are we going to sit here till we die? If we go in there with Israel, they're starving to death. If we stay here, we're going to starve to death. Then let's go into the enemy's camp. The Bible says the moment they started, God made the enemy to hear noises. And the enemy heard noises, check it out. And when they heard noises, they threw down everything. They left their tents, they left their horses, they left their camels, they left their... Now, today we don't have camels and tents. They left their airplanes, they left the freight cars, the trains, they left... Come on, they dropped the economic system. And I'm saying that when God had people to hear things, they got afraid. They thought the enemy was coming on them. and they ran and left everything, even dropped things along the way. My point to you is yeah, people are trying to fight ISIS and Al-Qaeda and all of that with natural weapons. But the church needs to rise up, because God can make the ISIS to hear the same noise that he heard made them people hear. And somehow we ain't got too close to the world, and we're starting to do things and think the world's way instead of coming back to God and think like God wants us to think. He said, my thoughts have not been your thoughts. That's for your ways have not been your way, my ways. But that was a prophecy that went forth today that say things are changing. You're not going to be the same as you were before. God is about to raise you up, and you're going to take that city. Say amen to that. Amen. Folks, in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, he even made the enemy to get confused. And they turned on one another. God hadn't changed. He said, I'm the Lord and I change not. God is not a man that he should lie. If God can make the enemy have confusion then, he can make the enemy have confusion right now. Say amen to this. So what am I saying? God is he wants you to be an undisputed champion. He doesn't want you to be one that's out there and just barely making and competing. He wants you to be one that's going to dominate. He wants you to be one that's going to take this thing. And when you take this mountain, it's not going to be any dispute. The enemy is not going to even try to make some kind of an excuse for whatever, but it's going to be a complete wipeout. And God is raising you up for that. Say amen to that. Amen. Now, one of the things that I see. Now, did y'all follow that right there? That's my first point. My first point is this. I don't need a handout. I don't, yeah, you heard it from me. I don't need, what you give me, I'm going to take. Now, I thank God for sowing things into my life. Say amen to that. But you're not going to be seeing me begging nobody. Come on, begging nobody, hoping they'll feel sorry for me enough to do that. No, what's going to open the door for you is called favor. Favor. Favor will make folk give stuff to you that they can't stand you. Say amen to that. And I'm saying there's a new level of anointing that's coming on people like yourself. And God doesn't want you to try to depend on the system at all. Because Jeremiah 17 in verse 5, cursed is a man that trusts in man, that makes flesh his arm, whose heart departs from the Lord. And he would be like a heath in the desert and won't even see when good comes. God doesn't want you to depend on that world, not one bit. Say amen to that. Now, I don't care. I know we're going to go to the world, and on purpose, God dispatches the righteous in the world. So we're to be in the world, but we're not to be of the world. Now, I'm just saying that because God has got an industry of entertainment and he's got an industry of business. And I'm telling you, God is making it so that you can compete with the weapons that he's giving you. You see, the system is rigged. And in the natural, you can't beat the system. But you are not anymore in the natural. There's something else coming on your life. Now, let's talk about it right now. Go back again to Genesis and chapter 12. See, if God didn't give Abram this, he couldn't have dealt and done the things that he did. He said in Genesis chapter 12, please. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, into a land that I'm going to show you. In other words, come out from your comfort zone. Come out from borrowing money from Madea. From your auntie. Come out from all the systems that you've been trusting in that has kept you from trusting in me. And God said, come out. Look at the next verse, please. He said, and I will make of you a what kind of nation? A great nation. And I will do what to you? I'm going to bless you. Now that word bless is a word barak in the Hebrew. Barak, it's, you've heard it in a president's name. You've heard it somewhere in your Hebrew. It means empowered to for success. And some people say empowered to prosper, but it's empowerment for success because it covers a lot of things. It covers supernatural increase financially. It covers supernatural favor. It covers supernatural longevity. It covers supernatural promotion. It covers supernatural, supernatural. That whatever is needed to make you a success, the blessing covers that. So he said, I'm going to bless you. Now, where do we see this blessing at first? When God blessed Adam in the garden. He said in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, and God blessed them. And God said to them, what? Be fruitful, come on, and multiply, come on, and replenish the earth, help me, and subdue it. And have what? Dominion. Over what? The fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, every creeping thing, everything that liveth upon the earth, whatever. Now, my point to you is that this blessing was now on Adam to do what God did. Now, stay with me, because one of the reasons God desires that whatever can be said about him can be said about you. So he's giving him the blessing to top it off. Because the blessing is what God used to bring all material things into being. So he took what he used to create and then dropped it on a man and said, now continue creation. Now, I want you to replenish the earth. That means to perpetually renew it and supply it. The day the prophet talked about prayer walking. What is prayer walking? Some people, she said it, I don't think you ever heard of it before. Prayer walking is just what it says. Walking while I'm praying. But you can walk a neighborhood and pray and shift the atmosphere of the neighborhood. If you believe what you say is going to come to pass, God will superimpose heaven over that neighborhood. You see, glory to God. So what am I saying? So this blessing is what he's given us. Now, this is what he's placed on your life. Why? So that you can't just compete, but you can dominate. This blessing, we've said it, folks. Bless you, brother. Bless you, sister. Bless you. Well, what is that? Do you know what you just said? You just spoke the barakah. He said, I bless you, made your name great, and you shall be what? A blessing. You shall be a barakah. That whatever, I hope I'm talking to the right people here. Everybody that had the blessing, start with Abraham. Did God raise Abraham up? No matter where he went, he's coming out on top. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Deuteronomy, please, chapter 28 and verse 1. In Deuteronomy chapter 20, listen, my name is BW.
Yes, sir.
What I'm telling you is that God plans for you to take back the whole earth. Not just the entertainment industry. I want the whole thing back. The Bible says the whole earth is the Lord's. Not just arts and entertainment, everything. It shall come to pass if thou hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord thy God to observe to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God shall set thee high above some of the nations of the earth. And what else? All these blessings shall come on you and they're going to overtake you. That's if you listen to God and just do what he says. So God is now making us a promise that when this blessing is on you, he's going to raise you up to be over anybody in any nation. Watch this. In any field of endeavor, in any industry, in anything that Satan has used that rigged system to hold captive, God is going to have you say, give me this mountain. I'm taking this mountain. This is my mountain. So what you got to say is that, wait, now we're in entertainment industry now. How about pictures and so forth? Whoa. That's what I'm saying. See, that's what Devon and them starting to tap into. They're starting to tap into that blessing. Because what is happening is the blessing. See, when Devon tried to jump in there and he tried to make something happen himself, God pulled him back. Because the blessing is not going to compete with you. The blessing's got to do it by the blessing. The blessing is going to open the door. The blessing is going to put it on their mind. The blessing is going to make a business come. The blessing is going to call the contract. The blessing is going to give you proficiency that you can create beyond your reign and your rank. Boy, come on now, come on. I'm not saying somebody can't give you something, but I'm saying anybody that can give you everything can take everything from you. And when you're getting in those places where all of a sudden there's this dispute about who should have gotten the Oscar, who should have gotten this and that. No. I don't want to dispute it. No, you got to get a mindset that the blessing is not going to take you into dispute. It's going to take you into undisputed. This is what the blessing, you got to hear what I'm saying. Those 10 spies preached something that was logical, and the people believed it, and they died short of God's promises. God didn't promise you the wilderness. He didn't promise you that hope. Sometimes you win a few, sometimes you lose a few. He said that he has made you more than a conqueror. He said he always causes you to triumph. Now we got to stop looking at them, watch it, and then look at our color and begin to evaluate the situation. What in the devil does your color got to do with it? It ain't got nothing to do with it. If you think it does, you have been deceived by a wicked system. Can't nobody stop Bill Winston by Bill Winston. Now, if you don't believe it, get in my way. You get in my way and you will get hit just like a Mack transfer truck hits you. Why? Because I got the wind of God at my back. We got the devil where we want him, under our feet. Now sit down. Now stop making excuses. Put the pressure on the covenant. God promised you something. He promised you that you'd be blessed. How do I know that? The same blessing that was on Abraham, the same blessing came on Isaac. Then Isaac had to pass the blessing on to Jacob. Look what it says in Hebrews now, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 20. Over in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 20, he said this. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Now, as you remember, there's only one blessing. So there's not two blessings. So Jacob deceived his dad and his dad ended up blessing him. But when he blessed him, after that, Esau came in the room. Esau said, I'm ready for the blessing. He said, oops. Why did he say oops? Because you can't ever get the blessing off. Ever. 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 It's on you for life. You can't wash it off. No demon can separate you from it. Person that can turn it up and down is you. The moment you look at a man as your source, you turned it down. The moment you come back to God as your creator and your Lord, your sustainer, God will turn it back up. And when he turned it back up, every demon that's in your way moves out of the way, because he knows the power of that blessing. Sit down. Now let's stop playing games. You are the church. Jacob had that blessing. God told him about all the things that he got in that blessing. And Esau came in there. Isaac said this: "You're too late. I have just made him your master for life." Esau will say, "I'm gonna find him and I'm gonna kill him." Check it out. You too late for that. You can't do it. You can't kill a person that's blessed. What is that to Job? Job chapter 1, verse 9. Let's start right there. In Job 1:9, he says, "And Satan answered, said, does Job fear you for naught? Has you not made a hedge about him and about his house?" Look at that. "And about all that he," what? "Had," on how many sides? All that he had means his businesses. Come on, his church, his ministries. "Thou hast," what? "Blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land." Well, then how did Job get the enemy? How did the enemy come in to get him? His fear caused his mouth to move. And in Job chapter 6, he said this: "Teach me and I'll hold my tongue." That's why Pastor said this law of confession is so important. Yes. Satan wants your mouth. Yes. And what they said, "We can't take the giants, we gonna die in the wilderness." Did they do it?
Yes.
Everything they spoke. God will never let you face anything you cannot overcome. One more time. God will never let you face anything you cannot overcome. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. So my point to you is this: you are blessed.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. When he blessed Jacob, notice, he didn't have a stenographer there, a court reporter. He didn't have a lawyer on their side. Didn't even have a pen to write it down with. He had one thing: words. You got one thing: the word. Put it up there. Galatians chapter 3, 13 and 14. Put it up there. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a what? Curse for us. And it is what? Written? Cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. Why? so that the blessing of Abraham will come on the Gentiles. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. God did not promise you second place. He said he's going to make you the head, not the tail. I don't care whether you're in the medical industry, you're in the entertainment industry, you're whatever, God's got to keep his word. He's going to bless you, make your name famous and distinguished, and you shall be a blessing. Bible says over in Romans chapter 3 in verse 3, he says this, well, what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true. Every man be a liar. God said this. Now here's the deal. I'm your preacher. Romans chapter 10, verse 14. And this is what he says about it. He says, how shall they call on him who they have not believed? How can they believe on him who they've not heard? Well, now how can they hear without a preacher? And how can he preach except he be sent? I've been sent, and I'm telling you, you are blessed. You are blessed. You are blessed. And from this day forward, you will manifest the millionaire, the billionaire, the trillionaire. See, now here's the deal. He said in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20, my son, attend to my word. Incline thine ears to my sayings. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for their life to those that find them, and health and medicine to all their flesh. Here's what the deal is. The enemy deals in distraction. He deals in distraction. Why? Mainly because of fear. And let me tell you how it works. Flying airplanes, military, they train me. So I finished pilot training. Now I'm going for my assignment, my Air Force airplane assignment, and what station, what base I'm going to be stationed. So he sent me first to radar school. I got to radar school because this airplane that I flew has sophisticated radar in it. So this radar has a certain mode that it paints a picture of what's out in front of you. Whether or not it's a cloud with some hail in it and so forth, it'll paint all of that. But it'll also paint blimps of the aircraft. So in war, you want to know what's out in front of you. Because if you're going, I went and flew combat. So going into the bad land, you got to know who's coming after you. So you want to know as soon as possible whether you got an enemy coming after you. So it paints that. But then what you do, once it gets into about 200-mile range or so, what you do is you flip the scope. In other words, you're not painting the whole sky anymore. You take your pipper or your cursor and put it on that little dot that you see and trigger it. And once you trigger it, everything else disappears. And the only thing now you see is that dot. And it also shows you how fast it's coming after you. All of that. Now, that's all you can see. But the danger of that is you can't see anything else. See, you can't see anything else, man. You locked on to one target. But suppose another bad guy is coming from your 45-degree right angle. Say amen. You can't see him because you're focused on one thing. Well, that's the way you must do with the word. You see, you can't focus in on healing and a bad report at the same time. You gotta close in on nothing but that dot. Say amen and trust your life with the rest. Your back, he's got your left side, your right side. Come on, he just wants you to focus in on that promise, because when he says by his stripes you've been healed, then you focus in on that. I don't care what comes after you this way, what comes after you that way. This lady came up, I said, what was she said, Pastor, I got a good report. They gave me a report, no sign of the cancer. I said, what happened? She said, I just never said what they said. I only said what she, come on now. He said something. Be strong and of good courage. That's all you need. You know the word. Now you got to trust him, because he won't fail you. Now, what are you looking for? Paul says you're looking for a crown. Oh, it's okay to win the Oscar, okay to be recognized as top business in the Forbes list, but that's not what you really want. You want a crown that's been laid up. That's what I want. I want him to say, well done. Say amen to this. And I'm saying this conference for you, if you remember my prayer when I opened, I said, Lord, let prophetic word come through. I prayed that because I felt that's what he was going to do with this conference. Go back and get some of those tapes. Listen to them. Don't let one word fall to the ground. You didn't choose him. He chose you. He's got a dream so big in you that he won't even let you see it all right now. Walk it out, and God will show you that he's going to take you to the top, watch this, without compromise, Lord have mercy, and without fear. Amen. This is your year. Now give God praise and receive it. Receive it, receive it, receive it, receive it, receive it. Now, let me just say this. There's a whole lot more to this topic of the blessing, because it hadn't been preached. But there's something here that God has reserved for this hour. And I think this knowledge of the blessing is one of the things that he's reserved. Isn't it interesting how Joseph had the blessing? Watch this. They couldn't kill him. Watch this. She tried to get him into, Sister Potiphar tried to get him into a bad relationship. He turned her down. Why? Because he thought more of the value of the blessing. No need to cheat your way through. Run the race lawfully. And what happened next? He had time that he could have slipped a little money out from the system where he was working for the man Potiphar. But the Bible says everything he took in, Mr. Potiphar knew it. Joseph was a man of integrity. But notice, falsely accused, threw him in jail. What happened? The blessing made him take over the jail. He became the warden. Then what he said to two people that have been thrown and put in jail because they violated Pharaoh. He said, one of you is going back up there. Now, when you get up there, tell Pharaoh I'm down here. The Bible says he got back up there and forgot all about Joseph. What is the lesson?
You don't need to know anybody at City Hall. Nobody. Nobody. What happened? Pharaoh had a dream. What gave him the dream? The blessing. The same thing that saved Joseph from that pit. Those merchant men didn't have to just happen to come along. The blessing timed it. It had them coming along about probably 6 weeks before Joseph ever got thrown in there. And I'm telling you, God is working on your behalf right now in a way that you don't even know. Study that blessing. No longer just tell people and use it loosely. God bless you, brother. People take Jesus, the name of Jesus, which is above every name. They drop something on the floor. Oh, Jesus. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute now. That name is above every name. When you say that name, demons even tremble. So get faith in his name. Faith in his blood. Faith in his word. And faith in his blessing. That blessing is on you. Watch this. I guarantee when Jacob walked out of the room, watch this, he didn't feel any different. Didn't feel any different. You ain't gonna feel no different when you walk out. But step out on it. And when you step out on it, watch it kick in. I'm looking for top musicians now. It's going to take you to the top of entertainment. It's going to take you to the top. It's going to take you to the top as a pastor in your whole city. Come on. As business people, whatever industry you in, let's go to the top. Now, don't think I got to qualify because it's all by grace. See, we're out of time. Meaning that whatever we do, we're going to have to do quickly. Oh, God's going to make the difference for you. Touch somebody's hand. Father, we do pray that this night and this meeting will be the turning point in every person's life that's in the sound of my voice. As they move